Yeah, we will, Mr. Shem, cover other issues besides Ishus. I know that the Ishus has been Nimshach longer than I anticipated, but hopefully this will either be the last one or one more after this, but we will get to a lot of other issues. Again, this will be very, if you go into Rabbanus, it will be very, very, very nokeya. Yeah? If you go into College Kirov, maybe a little less so, but even then, you'll at least have to deal with people in different types of relationships. I think the very last thing we talked about, it's been a few weeks, different year, is the well-known machlokes between Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin regarding the status of civil marriages, or reform marriages for that matter. Civil marriage is simply you go to a justice of the peace, and obviously if there was not a ceremony that was proper, either there was no Mesiras Tabas, there was no Amira Avraham Kadeshesli, or even if they did go through the ritual like in a reform service, so you didn't have witnesses, you didn't have kosher witnesses, etc. So we can assume that all of those things are butl. There's no Kedushin. But Rav Henkin was Mechadesh, based on Rishayim, based on the Sugyas, that because Eina Demaisa Bilasa Bilasnus, so I assume that when the husband is Bayel, he's Bayel L'Shem Kedushin. And if there are from people that are aware that they are living together Ki'ish V'Yishtei, they become an Anan Sahadei. And Remela Rav Henkin took the position that even invalid marriages morph into kosher marriages. Now, Rav Henkin is Maida that if people are Stamazoi living business, meaning like this, what would Rav Henkin say about a couple that's simply living together? Lemaisa, if you remember, the Rambam brought Shita Sagainim that say whenever people live together, and even if they say they're living with Teres Nus, I say Eina Demaisa Bilasa Bilasa Nus, and they're Bayal L'Shem Kedushin. So according to the Gainim Shita, every group of people living biznus, you'd have to have a get. And not only that, but the Gainim say, if I'm Bayal my own Shivcha, because Eina Demaisa Bilasa Bilasa Nus, it's an Aran Sadeh, I was Meshacher the Shivcha. Now, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and everybody rejects the Gainim. So everybody's Maida that if they hold themselves out as living biznus, we're not Mechayev get. And Bifrat, the Rivash says, that when people are not keeping Taras and Mishpacha, you also don't say Eino Demaisa Bilasa Bilasnus, because Mimanavshech, they're willing to have a Bias Isser of a Bias Nida. But what the Rambam does say is, so when do we say the Klau of Eino Demaisa Bilasa Bilasnus? When a person, the Gemara is Makadesh on a Tanai, so he thinks it's his wife, so when he's Bayel Stam, so that even if the Tanai is not Makoyim, it's still going to be an Ishus, but that's because he holds her to be his wife. So Rav Henkin Taina's civil marriage fits exactly the Tzior, not exactly, but it's similar, he says, to a Kedushin on a Tanai. Meaning, since you think, according to your choice, that she's my wife, I'm Bayel L'Shem Kedushin. Memela, Rav Henkin had a very big chumra. Rav Henkin held Lahalacha. Rav Henkin held Lahalacha. And again, I'm sure you've heard of Rav Henkin, but Rav Henkin is not as Yadua. He was, but Rav Henkin was the Pesach Achron in America before Rav Moshe came to the United States. He was a little older than Rav Moshe. And even though Rav Moshe became more Meforsim, Rav Henkin was a very, very Adam Gadol Miyait. It's interesting. Rav Henkin's job, he was not a Rosh Yeshiva, and he was not a Rav. His job was, he was the head of a tzedakah organization, Ezras Torah, which specialized in helping poor Talmidei Chachamim. So Rav Henkin was a Gabbai tzedakah. That was his parnasa. And in fact, because he was so honest, he bedavka didn't even allow himself to learn, like during the hours he was at work. And he figure, how do you become a gadol, you know, if you don't, yeah, but whatever. But he held, as the Gemara says, by Chani Abba Chilkiah, Chani Amagel's son. He was carrying wood, he was on a retainer, and when they would ask him shailas, he wouldn't even answer them until he got home, because he said it's a din of bitul malacha, I'm not allowed to stamazai answer and the like. Okay. Say again? Yes. According to Rav Henkin, civil marriages and reform marriages that have been consummated by Bia, if there are firm people that become aware that their darim ki ish vi ishtai need a get, that was his din.
Now, kids from Zerim?
Yes. Can I get the kids from Zerim?
What about the fact
that
they're doing it on their
nida? So Repentkin learns that the svara of Eina Demaisa Bilasa Bilasunus is not a svara, I don't want to be Ivar and Aveira, therefore I'm a Chav in the Kiddushin. Because you're right, they're Ivar and worse Aveiras with Nida and the like. But it's a svara bi'etzem, that when a person thinks somebody is his wife, he wants it to be an expression of Isha. Now, it's not because you make a cheshman, oh, I'm not Bayol Lisnus, because I don't want to do an Aveira. If you say that, Taka, which is the way the Rebush learns, then Ein Hachinami, you'd make a cheshbon for people who don't keep Taras and Mishpacha, they don't care about Isurim. But this is a different getter. This is more of a psychological dynamic, that when a person is with somebody that he considers his wife, he's Bayal Mamish. Okay. But again, I just to be 100% sure, because you will get this in Nikudah, Rav Henkin is not talking about single people who are living out of wedlock. Rav Henkin is Maida, because that's a machlekes the Rambam and the Gainim. Rav Henkin is Maida, they don't need to get. Rav Henkin is only talking about people who went through a ceremony of marriage, even if it's invalid. They went through a civil marriage. They got a marriage license. They went through a reform marriage. Rav Henkin's point is, since they had kavana to be married, even if they didn't understand the religious definition of a marriage, Rav Henkin was said, yeah, I don't want to call it a chiddush, I mean, just he's based on the Rishayim, he said, Eino de Maisa bilasa bilasa mes. So here it's meforsam that Rav Maisha was chaylik and Rav Henkin. This was the major issue. And Rav Maisha tainas the svora that, it's a svora hafucha, mamish, that when a person thinks he already was married, he bedavka is not boel l'shem kedushin. He's Bayel Aldas Kedushin Harishainim. He's not Bayel to make a new marriage. It's Purfakert. He's Bayel because of the old marriage. Now, Rav Henkin's mighty to that, but what's fascinating is ultimately the Machlaikas Rav Henkin and Rav Moshe is, what does it mean to be Bayel L'Shem Kedushin? Rav Moshe says, being Bayel L'Shem Kedushin is to be Bayel L'Shem Kinyan Kedushin. You're Bayel to be Kainaher. So Rav Moshe argues, when you think you're married, you're not Bayel to be Kainaher. You're Bayel because you think you already were Kainaher. Rav Henkin's mighty to that logic. For Rav Henkin Tainas, that's not what Be'ila L'Shem Kedushin is. Be'ila L'Shem Kedushin is not your bayel to be kaina, but it means your bayel as an expression of a relationship of ish v'ishtai. So the fact that you think you're already married is not migareya. The be'ila is an expression of the relationship of ish v'ishtai. Now, once again, Rav Moshe's tshuva has been a lifesaver, especially for maestas like Or Sameach and the like, because Rav Moshe removes the taint of mamzeris from numerous people, Balei Tshuva, whose mothers married their fathers without a get from the first husband. And the mahalach that we normally have, doesn't always work, but the mahalach we normally have is, Kedusha number one was invalid because you didn't have kosher witnesses, it was reform, it was civil. Memela, Kedusha number two didn't need, Kedusha number one didn't need a get, right? Because like Rav Henkin, all the kids that are born from a second marriage where the first one didn't have a get, they would be mamzerim chas v'shalom. Now, although Rav Moshe's tshuva is meforsam and we use it thousands of times over the past 50 years, thousands and thousands of times, one should know that even today it is not entirely Muslim. Rav Yashiv himself, in Eretz Yisrael, Yashiv himself was machver lechatchila to be chayshish for Rav Henkin's opinion, and he would not matter a woman to get married. In other words, the woman, let's say, didn't have a get from the first marriage, but the first marriage was reform or civil. Lechumra, Rav Elyashiv would normally be Machayev, a strong Hishtadlus to get a get, because it's efshir to be Mesakin by getting a get. However, he did Lagabi Mamzeris, which is a fait accompli, right? In other words, but once the kid was born, so he was Seimech B'deichet. I don't know if I told you, forgive me if I'm repeating my story. I was involved in a story like that, in which a kid, when I was in Maryland, a kid, he was already 35, a 35-year-old Baal Tshuva, wanted to get married. And he discovered in the course of his learning that his mother did not get a get from her first husband, and he was born from the second husband. And the first marriage, unfortunately, occurred. The first marriage occurred in 1952. So we had to be Derish v'chayker. Were there kosher witnesses in 1952? Now the chazan who officiated, the chazan was Masada Kedush. The chazan in a little town in Massachusetts. He was a Shomer Shabbos. So that already, you know, is a little scary. But lo and behold, one of the people who lived with his daughter in Silver Spring, Maryland, was the retired Rav of that community. And he had been the Rav of that community in the 1950s. And he was made in front of a Beis Din that the reason why people hired the Chazan is because the Chazan was a two-in-one. You got a Rav and a Chazan for one price instead of having a Rav and a... And the Chazan was a Shomer Shabbos, but nobody in the shul spoke to him. And therefore, he told that the Chazan routinely only used Edom that were not Shomer Shabbos. Now, this is really a hearsay. I mean, the Rav was not at the wedding. The Rav didn't know about this wedding. The Rav just said, in his experience, this Shomer Shabbos Chazan never used the Shomer Shabbos witness because there was no Shomer Shabbos in the town that even spoke to him. So we recorded all this, and we took it to Rebel Yashiv. I took it to Rebel Yashiv, and I was zeicher to get my 2 minutes. That was the only 2 minute conversation I ever. He didn't listen to the tape. He just, you know, and just, you know, you're only given like 1 minute or whatever it is to say your shaila with no follow up. So you gotta, you know, it's always people get nervous. I get nervous. You know, if you're told, you know, you're to the gadol hador, and you say it. You got 1 minute. You know, you get a little tongue-tied, you know, 1 minute, just, but whatever it is. But I got it, and Rabbi Yashiv just gave me a stare and said, you know, said, yeah, okay. Not a mamzer, whatever it is. Or what was his lesson? His lesson was, he wasn't enthusiastic, but he said, what was his lesson? He says, any Rav that paskins, the child is not a mamzer, we don't reject. Something. He says, we don't reject. He didn't want to say the chatzchil. He didn't say it's good. He said, oh. So I wanted to ask a follow-up, and they pushed me out. Next person. But anyway, so you just be aware that Rav Meisha's shita is followed only by the Yevet by Mamzeris. It is not followed by Gabi, the woman herself, and the like.
What about while she's in the middle of being married, and do you tell her to get a get for her first husband?
Yes. Now, even though I understand your taina, because if the pshat is, see, like Rav Henkin, you'd have another nekuda. Like Rav Henkin, although I'll give you an interesting horror on this. Like Rav Henkin, if she needs a get, when she gets a get after she married the second guy, l'chayra, she shouldn't be allowed to stay with the second guy, because now she's a saita that was mezane. Yeah. So the MS is, since the requirement of a get lididan is only a chumra, we would not asher her to her husband, like Rav Henkin Gufia. Now there is a swara to be makel that she could stay with her second husband even after she gets a get, even like Rav Henkin, and this is a tshuva of the Marik. The Marik has a tshuva that if a woman thinks she's not married, even though Lamaisa she is married, since she didn't have kavana to be mezana with her husband, she has a din of an anusa. And even though you find that Chazal did make a gezeira if a woman thought her husband was dead, remember the whole Mishnah Yevamos, she is also to go back, but that's mitam kenas to be sure that she'll be by dekas. Aber stamazai, if a woman thinks that because of her civil divorce she could marry another guy, than she would. She might have a din of an anusa, according to the Marik, and she'd be allowed. That would be a svara to matcha or to stack. But okay. Again, all of these need a shaylas chacham. Yeah. But like Ramesha, again, like Ramesha Gufa, there is no mamzerish problem, and the get is only a chumrah, and we would not asher her to the second guy. Yeah, did you want to say?
Yeah. How does it help to have an expression of the issues? How do you make a kinyan
That's what he says. He says that kiddushin. It's a whole maracha. Kiddushin does not require. Again, it's all on this thing. Kiddushin does not require kavanah l'kinyan. It requires the chibur of ishvi ishtay by kiddushay bia. So kiddushay bia is different than kesef and shtar. Kesef and shtar, the getter is a maisa kinyan. Bia is not a maisa kinyan. That's the whole point. Bia biesim is not a maisa kinyan. But when the Bia expresses Ishus, the Torah creates the Ishus. In other words, he's learning Bia is a different getter than Kedushay, Kesef, Ishtar. Okay. Okay, this is a Chiddush, but as I say, we're going to be moms here with Slamech and Ramayka. So now let me just mention some other pratim that's going to come up. One of the big issues in the world today, both in Eretz Yisrael, the United States, Europe, is the issue of an Aguna. And Aguna is the big problem, where the husband refuses to give a get to his wife, even though there is a civil divorce. And the emphasis is, al stachem drabeinu gershem, the husband is not allowed to get married as long as he's halachically married to his wife. But if he doesn't care, he could get another civil. After a civil divorce, he could get a civil marriage, and the kids are not going to be mamzeim. So mitzad the husband, you know, he could be put in chayim and everything else, but in this world where there are a million different shuls, he'll just go to some other, well, either he's not from now, or he'll go to some other shul that's not makir, charamim, whatever, and the like. But for the wife who doesn't have a get, there's real, real drastic consequences. Not only is the second marriage adultery, chiyav misa, but what's even worse is that if she has children, there's going to be mamzerim. Now, when you have Rav Moshe's Eitzah, that's going to work. You invalidate the first marriage. That's fine. But there are many cases, as you know, where the Ma'agnim are from people in which there was a kosher marriage. There were, you know, Eidim there. All right. So I like to say with a joke that we now have to be Derish V'chaker if the Eidim had iPhones or smartphones, because if the Psak is MS, that all of these smartphones make you pasaliedos. Nope. This is a new avenue that should be matzah lagunas, particularly in America, where kamat everybody has a non-mahadran smartphone. Right? You have to be mechamis. Again, I say it as a joke because I would like to see. I would like to see Rav Chaim Kanevsky. In other words, would Rav Chaim Kanevsky matzer an aguna based on the 8-day kedushin having a smartphone? I'd like to see that. I'm not saying he wouldn't. But I don't think he would. And Mimela, you know. So it's not entirely puzzled. You're puzzled the Adis as a doubler, borer, huh?
Why do they say that's the Lashon?
It's a Lashon. There's a certain Lashon that, Leafrushe Miisura. Even in the Gemara, you have such an Indian. Leafrushe Miisura, to take people away from something that's not proper, that might be usher, a starker Lashon can be used. Even if it's not totally MS, you're allowed to have a certain satiya minha MS to be masal people from Yisurim. So again, I don't know. I didn't speak to Rav Chaim about it, but lanias daiti to say that you're pasul liedus mamish as a double pashut is not intended to be taken absolutely literally. If that would be the case, we would matur an aguna LP that svara, and I don't think they would. I'd like to see them.
If a person was actually involved in areas to do with the internet, whatever, is he possible?
That's an interesting question. That is an interesting question. And there is a makam that he might be pasul meikar adin. On the other hand, if it's not gefarhesia. And if it's not a maisa, in other words, like this, if he's mazana with people, then for sure he's puzzled. His histaklus and even, you know, pornography and things like that, it's not so pashut. There is a makam, there's certainly a makam to don on this, but it's not pashut that his taklus would, it's not bizrayu de arayas, it's not arayas mamish. Bizrayu means it's like a side aspect of arayas. And it doesn't have the chimer of arayas mamish. Although spiritually it's even worse. No, Chazal say, Gazal hirhure aveira, yeshem yaveira. Spiritually, it's very interesting, spiritually, machshavas can be paygam even more than a maisa. Because the maisa, you know, you do a maisa. I did it once and I did it. Machshavas stay with you, you know, constantly. So spiritually in Ruchnius, it's paygam tremendously, but al lagabe edus, it may be totally, the psul edus may be totally on the maisa. Maisa Veira itself. But yeah, there is a makam. It seems not. It seems not. And now you may ask, why not? The reason why not is that Hatzah Zera Levatola, even though it's Vada Yitzhasser, and there's even a Chi of Kares, but it's not Mefurish Bekra. Some say in order to be Nifsuli Edus, you have to be Iver on an Isser that is Beferish in the Torah. And Hatzah Zera Levatola is the Maisa of Erev Yainan, but that... Well, Kares, it says we divrei Kabbalah, yeah, it is an Isser Kares, yeah. But remember, Kares, Chayvi Krisis, one could be Misakin B'Tshuva, one could do Tshuva on Chayvi Krisis, right? So there is a Tshuva on there. Okay. We'll come back to Atzar Sarah Levatala, because in another area I'm going to talk about is a very important area, fertility treatments. Okay, I'm not going to talk about it tonight, but your fertility treatments, like IVF, in vitro fertilization, requires that the husband give zera. Right? How do you give zera? We'll talk about that, but that's going to be a very big issue of Hatzah Sarah Levatala, and how do you do it, etc. Okay. So the question of Yigun is a very, very big issue, unless you have Rav Meisha's Lambis that can work. Sometimes it's not going to work. So let me just mention a few Nikudas here. And this is going to come up a lot. In the modern Orthodox community, there is a phenomenon that they have something called a prenuptial agreement. Prenuptial just means an agreement that is signed before the marriage. Now, the emesis is also a postnuptial agreement. If you didn't do it before the marriage, you can do it after the marriage. But there are legalities involved. Now, the tachlis of a prenuptial agreement is to create a matzav where if a man refuses to give a get, and this is what the goal is, there is a legal mechanism by which a woman can go to a secular court and force the man to give a get. I mean, that's the tachlis. In other words, this is why you're doing this agreement. Because without an agreement, okay, well maybe it's more helpful to look at it. What happens if there's no agreement? Let's say stamazon. No agreement, no hesked. So what happens? So let's ask ourselves stamazon. A woman feels her marriage is intolerable. A woman wants out of the marriage. But a woman cannot be megarish, her husband. So what does a woman do? Forget without a prenuptial agreement. So both in America and in Eretz Israel and any other country, so a woman opens, let's say, a file in a basement. And hopefully the woman and the man go in front of a basement and they discuss what the issues are. If they have Adam, they bring Adam. If they have documents, they have documents. If they have photographs, they have photographs. Because although photographs are lav dafka kosher edus, but a basin is normally mechayev people to be mevater and to be meichel on psulei edus and everything else. So I'll leave it to the MS. What are the circumstances in which a woman can get the order of a basin to be mechayev the husband to divorce his wife? In other words, when and if ever will a basin be mechayev a husband to divorce his wife? A beis din. I'm not talking about any court. So here, there is a fundamental machlokes, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam, that you have to know, and it's based on the sugya in Ksuvos, in Perek HaMadir. The Rambam paskins lahalocha, an amazing thing. If a woman tainus, right, women's liberation loves this Rambam. If a woman tainus ma'is alive, it is repulsive and disgusting for me to live with this man. I don't want to live with him. She doesn't have to prove anything. She doesn't even have to say why. According to the Rambam, Beis Din will be mechayev the man to give a get with a taina of mo'ez alai. And let me just emphasize, once Beis Din is mechayev, we then have a din of kofin oso ad sheyomer reitzani, including in a pure halachic society, beating him until he gives. Because once he's ordered to give a get, there's a din of kofin oso ad sheyomer reitzani, and all she has to do is taina mo'esel.
She gets a
ksu. She gets unless he has a taina that she's ovaris aldas, but she gets a ksu. Mo'asalai. This is the Shita Sarambam, based on the Gemara Ksuvis, that a woman is a type of Mo'asalai. Rabbeinu Tam is chaylik on the Rambam. Rabbeinu Tam says, it's not shayach for a woman to be entitled to a get and a ksuva with a type of Mo'asalai. Because Rabbeinu Tam says, if that would be true, Shema einaha nothing wrong with the husband, regular guy, she just likes somebody else. So you're going to allow her to, Basin's going to be mechayev for her to give a get, mechayev him to give a get. So Rabbeinu Tam learns that the only time Basin will be mechayev, now if he wants to give a get, he can give a get, but then he can say, I'll give you a get if you're Michael the Ksuba. But you understand the difference. When Basin is mechayev for him to give a get, he has to pay a Ksuba. If he, out of the goodness of his heart, wants to give a get, he could say, yeah, I'll give you a get, be Michael the Ksuba or whatever. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, we're only kaifin for specific cases mentioned in the Mishnah, like Mukesh Shechin. If a person has a job working in a borski, certainly a tannery, which uses saya, urine, and feces, you know, whatever it is. In other words, as a derech klal, a woman does not have a right, because of Mo'es Alai, to obtain a get. However, there's a Shuvas Harash that says, and this is a very important Shuvas Harash, that even according to Rabbeinu Tam, that a woman cannot get a get with a taina of Mo'es Alai if she has an amasla. Amasla meaning if she can substantiate and prove, even with Psula Yedis, even through Umdana, that she has a reason why she cannot live with the person, then even Rabbeinu Tam would be Maida, that a Beis Din would be Kaifen, I say, Lagaresh. And an example that the Rush gives is, if she can show that he beats her, abuse, right? She can show the marks, she could show reports from the, and again, as I say, the Rush says, Beferish, you don't need Edom Kesherim for this. So you can use Goyim, you can use reports, you can use social work, police reports, and the like. Which means, it's an important idea to know, that the Rambam says she can get a get with Mo'ez Alai. Rabbeinu Tam says no, a Rezak Derush, even like Rabbeinu Tam, in the case of abuse, refusal to cohabitate, non-support, he doesn't give her mezainas, he only gives her $1 a week, or mezainas, he doesn't give her adequate support. So B'chiyai Gavna, the Beis Din would issue an order of kafia. Now remember, this is without any prenuptial agreement. This is the internal process of a Beis Din itself. Now, Lahalacha, in the Machlekes, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam, how do we paskin? So it's a Dover Pashas that both the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam and all the Nisei Kalim are not Simech on the Rambam at all, which is very unusual. For the Shulchan Aruch, not the paskin like the Rambam, is a tremendous Yetzei Min HaKlal. Shulchan Aruch follows the Rambam 90, 95% of the time. The reason is because the Beis Yosef created a rule, right? The Beis Yosef created a rule of Hachra that he follows two out of three, and the three Paiskim that the Beis Yosef is Machria is the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush. But that kind of stacks the deck, you see, because the Rif and the Rambam in turn always follows the Rif. And the Rush is the Balei HaTosfos, which is different. So when you say two out of three, it's always going to be the Rif and the Rambam. And the Ramah b'derech klal.
The Rif predates the Rambam?
Yeah, that's right. The Rambam follows the Rif. Yeah, the Rif predates the Rambam. The Rambam follows the Hachros of the Rif. And the Rush represents the Balei HaTosfos. Okay, but this is very unusual. When it comes to Mar Sinai, even the Shulchan Aruch, even the Machaber, even the Beis Yosef, goes like Rabbeinu Tam. Now, what that means, now let's take Eretz Yisrael as an example first. Eretz Yisrael, see in America, let me just say, in America, a Beis Din has no power at all. In America, even if a Beis Din orders a man to give a get, let's say the woman shows abuse, the woman shows everything, the Beis Din orders a man to give a get. Unless they hire goons to beat him up, which some do, when there's an FBI, there's a criminal prosecution about rabbis who beat up people, not themselves, but they hired people to beat them up. But b'derech klal, a Beis Din in the United States has no legal authority. So in the United States, let's take the United States, let's say a woman goes to Beis Din, and a woman gets the best psak Beis Din that you can get. Husband, you are halachically obligated to give a get to your wife in the next 30 days. The best psak she could get, which is not so easy to get, but let's say she could show everything. Husband just doesn't do it. So what's the next step? Well, one possibility is hire goons, which our pidin is mutter, but that'll get the basin in big trouble. Huh? It's mutter in Chutzlar. Okay, that'd be a question. I mean, it's really, Dina Demachus and Dina really would not be Nogeya to be Kaifa and Hapsak based, but it may be Chilul Hashem. There may be reasons why it shouldn't be done. But it is done. Among Hasidim, it's done a lot. I mean, to the degree they have cases. Step number two is Cherem, or Nidui, in which they put up signs and say, the person is not welcome. For example, Agudas Yisrael has a resolution that any man that is a Mesarev to either go to Beis Din or is not listening to a Psak Beis Din cannot have an Aliyah, cannot go to a Simcha, cannot go to a Kiddush, cannot go to his own child's Bar Mitzvah. So this creates what you might call social pressure. A third, which is Nichlal and Becherim really, it's just another aspect of it, is people can boycott his business, they can not patronize him. A fourth are demonstrations, which are a bit controversial. People picket and demonstrate. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't, but ultimately if the guy is stubborn enough, or the guy may have gone off the derech, so he doesn't care what Orthodox Jews think about him. In America, the woman is stuck, because even if she has like the gold standard psak basin, which isn't so easy to get, but even if she has a psak basin that says he is chayav to give a get, if he doesn't do it, what do you have? Jewish press articles, different things, but some people don't care. Now, Eretz Yisrael is very different. If we take the same scenario in Eretz Yisrael, and again, this is without prenups, I'm not talking about prenups here, I'm talking about the internal process of the Beis Din itself, and she could show, for example, she was abused. So keep in mind that the rabbinical courts, the Bat Dei Din of this land, are part of the state court system. That's why it's always a little funny to me when you see a picture of Rebbe Yashiv when he was a dayan, and he was the head dayan of the Beis Din HaGadol, it's called. That's the supreme rabbinic court. So he's sitting in the room, and there's this big seal of the State of Israel, like behind his, behind his head, because he was an official of the state, and the like. And although there were Kanoim who didn't forgive him and said Ad Yom HaAcharon, they didn't forgive him for this, but he did have the not only the Rishus, but the Brisker Rav told him he was Mechuyev to stay in the Rabbanut, because that way he would keep things kosher v'yasher. He resigned in the 1970s when Shlomo Goren became the chief rabbi for, again, an interesting case, the Langer Mamzer case. I think I may have gone over this. Just to remind you, this is before many of you were born, maybe all of you were born except me. But the Langer case involved the Mamzeris issue, where Miriam and Chanoch Langer were brother and sister, and they were married. They were born from a second marriage. And separately, when they were ready to get married, not to each other, they were ready to get married to whoever they were getting married to. So they applied for a rishayon. They applied for a marriage license. And the Beis Din in Be'er Sheva determined that because their mother did not get a get from her first husband, they were technically mamzerim. And the first marriage was in Eretz Yisrael, so it was kosher. He didn't have Reb Moshe's lumdus. So the ach and the achot were registered as mamzerim, which means they were not eligible to marry non-mamzerim. They could only marry giyores or a mamzer, right? And there was an official list. They had a blacklist. So for some reason, the secular press had a field day. They said, oh, the blacklist, the courts have blacklists, you know, and this is medieval, and people are, you know, and this was really, you know, Ma'ariv and Yedia, they were going crazy about the black. I mean, every basin has to know who's a mamzer, who's not a mamzer, etc. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, then and now, if a mamzer wants to marry Beisr, just like if a Kohen wants to marry a Grusha, all you have to do is get on the Anarchia flight to Cyprus, which is, you know, 30-minute flight, get a civil marriage in Cyprus, and then Eretz Yisrael will recognize this sinful marriages that were incurred outside of Eretz Yisrael will be recognized as legal marriages, not halachic marriages, right? So, but whatever it is, they made a whole point that how could a civilized society allow blacklisting of people and the like. So anyway, Rav Shlomo Goren was a brilliant, brilliant person. He was one of the great Eloyim of Chevron. He had been the Rav HaRashi of the Tzahal, of the IDF, during the Six-Day War and the like. And then he was briefly the Rav of Tel Aviv. And he was Mu'mad. He was interested in being the Rav HaRashi. And he promised, it's very similar, I don't want to compare it. You know, Nixon, the way Nixon got elected in 1968 was, he said, he had a secret way planned to end the Vietnam War. He didn't say, I can't say what it is because it's a secret. But, you know, trust me, elect me, and I will end the Vietnam War. I have a secret way of ending the war. So Shlomo Goren, Rav Shlomo Goren said, he has a secret way, you know, to resolve the Langer Mamzeris issue. So he got elected Rav HaRashi. Now, first of all, you know, Rav HaRashi is, the people who elect Rav HaRashi, half of them are not even religious. I mean, he got elected as Rav HaRashi. And indeed, he convened a secret Beis Din. He refused to release their names because he didn't want them to be harassed. He wrote an 85-page psak. And listen to what he said. Listen to what he said. Apparently, the Langer's mother, her first marriage was to a ger. A ger. A man who converted. In front of a kosher Beis Din. But this man, at some point in his life, stopped keeping Shabbos. So Rav Goren said, a ger who stops keeping Shabbos, there's a chisaron in his Kabbalah's mitzvahs. And therefore, he was mavato the geris. And if the geris is batal the mafreya, there was no kedushin. If there was no kedushin, the second marriage was kahalacha, and the kids are not mamzeris. So Rav Goren became a gevaldige machmer in Hilchos Geiris to be mavatal a geiris, not based on a chisaron in the Kabbalah's mitzvos at the time, but based on the ger stopping keeping mitzvos later, which is b'chlal, not emes. If a ger stops keeping mitzvos later, he's like a Jew stops keeping mitzvos later. You don't become a goy because you stop keeping mitzvahs.
So did he go around and validate all the geruses?
So what's interesting is that Rav Goren, you know, people accuse the Haredi Bati Dinim of doing that now with the Russians and the like, but Rav Goren did it first. Now, what's so amazing is that Borokovsky was the name of the first husband. He was a guy who converted after World War II. And Rav Goren didn't even tell the guy. The guy didn't even come in front of the Beis Din. He hears on television. He's watching television, and they say, You know, the Beis Din under the Rav Rashi of Shlomo Gorin has hereby declared that Avram Borukovsky is not Jewish, and therefore the marriage was not a valid marriage, and therefore the Langer children are not Mamzerim. Well, Borukovsky was not very happy. I mean, you know, he wasn't from, but he considered himself a Jew. He didn't want to, like, you know, not become a Yid anymore. So that was one thing. But be this as it may, Rebel Yashiv considered this to be not just Rebel Yashiv, Rav Shach, I mean every Stipler, everybody, like 100%, considered to be a tremendous pirtza. Number one, you're being mavatal the geiris. Number two, you're maturing an Eishes Ish. Number three, you're maturing mamzerim. And they saw this as a political decision. They saw this as a decision totally connected halacha to mater serious yisurim, to get a position, to get power and the like. So at this point, Rav Yashiv said he could not work, because technically Rav Gorin would be his boss. He could not work under Rav Gorin. He resigned his position. And many, many dayanim went with him. Now, the Rav Gorin was the Ashkenazic Rav. Ravadi Yosef was the Sephardic Rav. They got elected at the same time. And Rav Ravadi also wanted to resign. But I think Rebel Yeshua told him that we need somebody in the chief rabbinate who is reliable paisek, and the like. So this was a real famous case. The Ach and the Achot, it's called. Then that's okay. As I say, Rav Gorin was maybe Talmud Chacham is already okay, but he was a very, very brilliant person. He just knew a lot. He was just very, very brilliant. But he didn't get along with the Gedolei Hador in many pratim.
At what point did someone be discredited and wouldn't actually refer to them as Rav?
Well, quite a few people do not refer to him as Rav. That's very true. But again, I don't want to be misogynistic. I mean, in other words, like this. We could say that the Gedolim said that you can't be Seinech on this Psak. This Psak is Batul and Mevutal. But we have to say Behechrech that Rav Gorin's Kavana was not L'Shem Shemaya. No, he made a Cheshbon, and the Gedolim said it's not a right Cheshbon. And, you know,
they run the Batul him as
some were and some weren't, meaning to say Hachrezes go different ways. Some Hachrezes say he's not Bikiris, he's a Kuyper, and some just said you can't be Seinech on the Psak. And the like. So whatever. I don't want to be nichnas into this issue. I will say an interesting thing though. It's interesting. What is the Gemara's lashon? Butzin butzin mikatfei yedia. You know that expression? It says that you can tell how a melon will look from when it was little. In other words, you know, you see from the beginning what it will eventually become. It's interesting. Have you heard of Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin? Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin was a very, very interesting person. He was a Mizrahi person. He was also a Chabad person. And he was very connected to the Briska Rav. And he was connected with all circles. Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin. And he was tremendous Talmud Chacham. In fact, he was the founding editor of the Encyclopedia Talmudis. And as I say, he was both Chabad, Mizrahi, and he was connected to the yeshiva world, and he just knew everything, and he was such a shaylet in Kol HaTorah Kula, that he used to write in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. He would write for the Mizrahi newspaper, he would write book reviews of Svarim. A new Shailas and Shuvas came out, Chazan Yechazan, he would write a book review. But you see, the way he could go through a sefer is like a person would read a novel. I mean, he would just say, he would like read, I mean, Rabbi Chesko Abramsky produces Chazon Yechesko on Tesefta Trumas. He just read the whole thing and then say, oh, you know, Rabbi Chesko didn't mention the Ritvot Moed Katan, you know, he missed this and that. No, he was just able to go through a sefer and just write them. So, Rav Gorin, when he was a young man, he was an Avreich in Chevra, wrote a Bior on the Yushalmi Brachas. And Rav Gorin, this is back in the 40s, 1940s, Rav Gorin was a young man. And Rav Gorin, Rav Zevin writes, what an evil he is, and you see his bekiyas, and you see the charifas of his seichel. But he says, but it's mechutzav kitzas, he was critical, because, you know, he's chaylek, I'm gedeylei achreinim. without showing them the proper kavod. I read this review myself because they published Rav Zevin's reviews in a set of three svarim, svarim v'sifrim. So it's mamish interesting. The very avla that was identified with Rav Gorin decades later, Rav Zevin already pointed to in Rav Gorin's sefer. He said that there's a chutzpah for a young avrech, you know, to be chaylig and gedele achreinim in a disrespectful way. It's interesting. Okay. Alrighty. Okay. How did I get out of that? I don't know. But putting that aside, so a woman comes to Eretz Yisrael. So you have to understand that the rabbinic courts of Eretz Yisrael, the Beis Din, is part of the state system. Because of that, the laws of the Knesset give a Beis Din powers. So, in a Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael, if a man is ordered to give a get, and the man refuses, the Beis Din is authorized to send the man to jail. A lot of things can happen under the law of the Knesset, which could not exist in the United States. A man refuses to give a get, he can have his passport taken. He can be fined, you know, $200 a day for every day, or whatever, shkolim, for whatever every day he doesn't give a get. He can be thrown into jail. And that is not a chisaron of get musa. Get musa means a coerced get, because once again, once there's a psak Beis Din, we have a din of kofin isai ad sheyayim reitzani. Once there's a psak Beis Din, all ways of coercion are permitted. In the United States, all you have is chayrim and boycott. In Eretz Yisrael, you actually have forfeiture of passport, you have fines, you have imprisonment. And that's because the batei din in Eretz Yisrael are part of the government system, the tayva l'ra, and therefore the government gives them the power to impose. This is even true, by the way, for the Eidah Haredes, which is very, very funny. The Eidah Haredes does not recognize the state of Israel. But they still have to work with the state of Israel, because the Eidah Haredes also needs the power to send a guy to jail if he doesn't give a get. So they entered a treaty with the state of Israel. The Eidah Haredes, based in Tzedek, entered a treaty with the state of Israel, in which, actually, I think it's pretty nice of the State of Israel to give the Eidah Haredes power, even though the Haredes doesn't recognize the State of Israel, and basically say, we will treat the judgments of the Badats of the Eidah Haredes the same way we treat the judgments of the Beis Din of the Rabbanut. And therefore, we will allow the imposition of fines and imprisonment and the like. So the Badats has a treaty in which For that purpose only, they give a certain hakara to the Medina, because that allows the Medina to then enforce. Right? So if the Eidah Haredes, if the Badats of the Eidah Haredes ordered a man to give a get, all of those punishments will still happen. Now, yeah. That's correct. That's what the Badats will say. Yeah, you know, listen, you know, we can make agreements with warlords and you know, Pakistanis, and yeah, and the Gemara says even Goyim, right? The Gemara says if Goyim beat a guy and say Asay Machi Israel Omer Mlach, it's good. So Lo Garami Goyim, right? That's the cheshbon that the Eidah Haredes says. Okay.
Yeah. The Mekin were coming out with these two Badat Shalat. We don't paskin like the Rambam.
That's correct.
But with the Chudas Rush, we do paskin like.
Yes, we do. And that's why. I think I'll clarify something. And just let me talk for another 3 minutes. So here is the thing. If a woman gets what we'll call the gold standard psak, that Beis Din will order a man to give a get, many things can happen to benefit her in Eretz Yisrael that cannot happen in Chutz La'aretz. And the reason is because the Batei Din of the Rabbanut, as well as the Eidah, are considered to be arms of the state, in which there can be imprisonment and fines and everything else. So one would think, therefore, that the aguna, the problem of an aguna in Eretz Yisrael, should be much less of a problem than the problem of aguna in the United States. Because in the United States, the basin orders the guy to give a get. What are they going to do about it? In Eretz Yisrael, there's a lot that can be done about it. In fact, I'll give you an interesting example. You know, the State Department in the U.S., they often give you travel advisories, right? They tell you, don't go to this country, there's terrorism, don't go to this country, there's whatever, malaria. They tell you where to go, where not to go. So around 10 years ago, there was a travel advisory in which they said, any husbands who have not given religious divorces to their wives should not go to Israel because they're confiscating passports at Ben Gurion Airport. Now, why the State Department wants to be misayeya husbands who are not giving gittin to their wives is an interesting question, but they just kind of go automatic pilot. Hey, if something's going to happen to an American citizen, you know, we have to warn you, don't go to Israel, they'll take your passport. But okay. Now, so in truth, it's axiomatic. In other words, it is avadai the case that an aguna in Eretz Yisrael has more avenues than an aguna in America. But even in Eretz Yisrael, there are agunos, and for a number of reasons. Number one, it is actually fairly difficult for a woman to get a psak of kafiyah. Remember, all of these sanctions, the imprisonments, all of the laws of kaifin isay achiyem reisani is only when the based and ordered kafiyah. Now remember, we don't paskin like the Rambam that Mosulai helps. She has to kind of prove, like the Rush, that there's this and that. And often...
Can you define that, like, what's according to Rush enough for a reason?
Say again?
What according to the Rush is enough of a cause?
Well, physical abuse is enough of a cause. But in a lot of cases, you know, it may not be so clear. In other words, sometimes it's his word against her word. And the Batei Din are reluctant to be machriya without edus or without raya. In fact, this depends on the part of the country. I mean, I don't want to suggest Dayanim are biased or whatever it is, but let me just mention, maybe I don't want to be anti-Spartic, but in some Spartic cultures, occasional hitting of a woman was not considered such an avla. So sometimes if a woman says, he slapped me once or something, zelo maspik, you know, they say, oh, these things happen. And the like. That is one issue. But also, it's often a he says, she says, meaning the Beis Din doesn't have enough yediyah to be machriya and to order a get. So they may say, it's good to give a get. In other words, they may say all sorts of things. It's good to give a get. It's better to give a get. You know, all sorts of things. But if they don't use the Lashon, chayav, v'kaifen, they say, legarish, nothing's going to happen. There are statistics that of all of the tikkun that are open for women who want to get, only 5% result in a psak of the Beis Din that the man is mechuyev to give a get. Now it could be that because 95% he's not mechuyev, it might be that, but it might also be that the Beis Din is very reluctant to be machriya. That's one issue. Meaning once she has the psak, a lot of things could happen. But it's very hard to get them.
95% of the time she doesn't get a get, or
95% of the time? No, 95% of the time the Beis Din will not order the man to give a get.
But a lot of times she gets to get without them.
Yeah. No. But she gets the get not because of kfiyah. She gets the get because...
But it's not a relevant statistic, because the Beis Din's going to try to get the get more peacefully.
Well, I understand. I understand. In other words, if they get the get, so they didn't have to... be nichnas into whether there's a chiyuv. Okay. Now, the other problem is this. In Eretz Yisrael, a lot of the cases of aguna involve people who are already in jail. It involves criminals. It involves drug dealers, arsonists, rapists. They're in jail already. And for whatever reason, they're rishayim, they don't want to give a get. So what are you going to do? The maximum thing we do to a guy is we throw him in jail. He's already in jail. Some of them are serving life sentences without parole. So what do you do? Now, Rav Oldenburg wrote a tshuva that, hey, Why does imprisonment have to be the maximum? According to the Gemara, we could beat the guy, but the Knesset doesn't allow it. So, but Rav Oldenburg actually suggested the Knesset should pass a law that if any person is in is serving a life sentence and refuses to give a get, we should be allowed to go to the next thing of beating him. Okay, but that's not going to pass. In modern societies, you're not going to have, unless you're the Taliban in Afghanistan or something, you know, you're not going to pass a law that says we're allowed to beat a person. Okay, so that is a problem. Okay. So because of this, both America and Eretz Yisrael, different people are trying to be mishtadel, how to help women get a get. And this brings us to the prenuptial agreements. Okay, we'll have to say for next time what this is. Now let me just say one thing though. There's one interesting perspective in Hashkafa that you have to think about. And that is the following. Al pi din, there are cases where a husband is chayav to give a get, and there are cases where he's not chayav. The prenuptial agreement, by definition, is a mechanism to help a woman give a get in an eifen where the husband is not chayav to give a get. So the question becomes, al pi hashkafa, is that a good thing necessarily? If the husband is not mechuyav to give a get to his wife, why should we create emtsa'im which will make him give it? Okay, that's a question to think about. So next time we will talk about the prenuptial agreement, and the reason why, especially if you're going to America, there are prenups in Eretz Yisrael as well. We'll talk about the differences. But this is going to be very important, because in the modern Orthodox community, many rabbis have policies. They will not be Masadar Kedushin unless a prenuptial agreement is signed. And often you will have parents that they will insist that it be signed. And often it's the bride and the chasen and the kala themselves. And you're going to have to know, you know, you're going to be asked to be Masadar Kedushin. And there will be a demand made on you to fill out this prenuptial agreement. So we'll have to discuss what it is and what the ins and outs are and the different types of agreements. That some agreements you absolutely cannot sign, and some agreements are actually fine and ineffective, but they're fine, they're allowed to sign them, and some are moderately effective. Okay, we'll see you next week.